Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. Hey, Jonathan here. Today on the podcast, you'll be listening in on a new interview series we call Creators of a Different Beat. The Creators of a Different Beat interview series airs on BMW's YouTube channel with fascinating people with a great outlook on life. Especially now, we all need some inspiration and positivity in our lives. Plus, we have a little more time on our hands than usual. So that's why we began Creators of a Different Beat, to give you some positive motivation no matter what life throws your way. But we didn't want to let you, our dedicated podcast listener, to miss a single minute of motivation. That's why we've created an audio format of the interviews just for you to enjoy as well. So sit back, relax, and listen in to our special guest's unique outlook on life from the pre-recorded live stream interviews. And speaking of special guests, today's podcast, you'll be listening in to an interview with Sina Diepholt, yoga coach and power woman. She's giving us insights on how important it is to bring balance into our lives, to stay optimistic during difficult times, and why yoga became so much more for her than cool splits and handstands. Enjoy today's episode, and thanks for listening to the Changing Lanes podcast. Our special guest today is yoga teacher, author, model, and all-around shining spirit, Sina Diepholt. Welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So, Sina, why don't you tell the audience that's listening in a little bit more about yourself?
Of course. It's always a fun question. Where to start, how to kind of put yourself. So I'm Sina. I'm from Munich, so Bavarian girl. And currently, my main job is definitely being a yoga teacher and owning my own body mind therapy studio, is how we call it. It's not a typical yoga studio, and kind of doing everything around that company that comes with yoga and having that studio, which is obviously closed right now, but we're still working. And on the other hand, I have a book, so I'm an author, I guess. I think that always sounds really cool. I used to model, I guess I still model, not as much anymore because it has shifted a lot. And I teach bar, so I also teach like physical workout, so less the yogi, so more like the actual workout. And I come from a dance background, so this is what I do. So it always kind of shifts from, that's like mostly the answer to the question. I love reading. I love being outside and I love being with my friends. And right now, my obsession is puzzles, just on the side note.
Oh, wow. So what puzzle are you working on right now?
I actually just finished Skyline of New York.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm on number 7 now. So I have to decide, but I think it might be the Sunflowers of Van Gogh will be my next one. So yeah, I'll be right now.
Well, I think we all need hobbies just to like calm us down and keep us focused on things and see the slow progression of something and that feeling of achievement afterwards, especially during quarantine.
Right? I can only recommend puzzles. Great.
All right. So for the viewers watching live, now is your chance to send in your questions to Sina, and we'll try to answer as many as possible. So ask away, no matter if it's a general question about yoga or even personal questions. And we're doing something new. We already asked the BMW followers on Instagram a couple days ago and got a ton of great questions in. So let's start with the first half of Q&A right off the bat. So BlackBled087 asks, what is yoga?
Well, what a great question, because I think everybody's heard it and everybody has like a certain picture about it, but usually it's fragmented. So it's just a tiny part. So usually when we think about yoga, it's what we see in our eyes, people doing basically contortion, doing like weird movements and then, you know, and being in a class space and stuff. So this is a very Western view of yoga. But actually it's a science. So it's a science, and it means yoga is Sanskrit, which is an old Indian language for united or unity. So it's basically about uniting. But what does it unite It unites body and mind. So something that we also in the West often separate, right? So sometimes, you know, you decide from the head and then from the heart, and they're not really united. They're not working together. And that kind of, it makes things difficult sometimes. And it also unites you with others and with our planet. So basically makes you, it's a science to bring you back into harmony with your inner world, with your inside, to live a more harmonious life with the outside. So it's a very general thing. And there's all those different techniques. There's all those different ways. There's meditation. There's like do's and don'ts. There's also that contortion part, which is because you need a strong body, right? You need a healthy body for a healthy mind to reside in. And yeah, so I guess yoga, it's a science from India. And one part of it is being physical.
Awesome. Wonderful. So Stefan van Dogen and several other users ask, can everyone do yoga? And how can I do it at home?
It's like also a great question. Absolutely everyone can do yoga. And I would actually go so far and say everybody should do yoga. But it doesn't mean that you have to go on the mat and do downward facing dog or like stretch. So there's all those different versions of yoga. And there's some versions that are really beautiful. So for instance, Bhakti yoga, so yoga of devotion. And it has a lot to do with singing and ceremony and just devoting yourself. So of course it can be like something very spiritual in the sense of like a god or whatever you want to call it. Yoga is not really strict or any doctrine about that. Or it can just be a devotion to, you know, tending to plants, right? So being a gardener, that can be your yoga. Can be tending to your plants on your balcony, trying to grow some cucumbers. And then there's other yoga where it's also service. So be in service to be helping others. So right now, if you have a neighbor, you know, who can't go outside or maybe is a little older and has some problems. So being there and helping out, that would be an act of yoga. So it would be karma yoga. So you kind of are in service for someone else, or you can tend to yourself, do meditation. So there's all those different layers, and your yoga can be washing the dishes. But you know, it depends in like how you put your conscious being into this moment and how present you are with what you do. And I think that is the wonderful thing, because we think we have to do handstands to do yoga, but actually yoga doesn't care. This is just one version of playing with your body to actually experiment what happens in the mind. And through that, get to know yourself better and have a healthy body. Which is right now even more important than ever, or like just like obviously more important.
Totally. I love the example of you saying, you know, washing the dishes can also be yoga. And I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a huge fan of washing dishes, right? So when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I know that feeling. And it's the thing of, and my struggle way back when was like, oh, I got to wash the dishes. And then I had to figure out something in my mind to go like, it's got to be done anyway. So why don't you just do it? Why don't you, you know, remove the negative connotation to it? Like, oh, I hate this. And be like, it has to be done. You know, maybe play some music or just like get into scrubbing that dish, you know, and getting into the zone of it. So thank you for confirming that thought that I had, you know, when I made that transition to a more positive or neutral idea of what washing the dishes is. I'm actually practicing yoga.
You absolutely are. And I love what you said. It's like, why fight it if it's something that has to be done either way, right? So this is one of the things that we as humans do a lot. So we want to fight or want to get rid of the things that are uncomfortable. And we want to reproduce and hold on to things that are nice. And this is basically the one thing that creates the most suffering in the world. Because that means that you're never in the moment. You never accept what is. You always try to find either you either try to hold on to something that will change either way, or you try to push something away that you might not be able to change. And so there's like Jack Kornfield, a great yoga teacher, and he says, so pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. So taking that chore that you really hate. So for me would be, I guess, cleaning the floors. So like wiping the floors, hate it. So that taking it and being very content with it in the moment without pushing it away and like, ah, oh, tomorrow, just kind of being neutral about it, like you said, and just accepting it and just doing that one chore for like, you know, it's like, what, 10, 15 minutes to wash the dishes, right? Other than making a drama out of it, because that's what you do in the end. You're like, I don't want to, I hate things. And that's where you create suffering. This is where you're not connected with your moment. And it sounds so blunt, but then that's yoga. And that was what we practice on the mat by doing contortion, being uncomfortable positions, trying to find ease in a hard pose or opening up spaces. I'm like, oh, I haven't, like this little mecca back there, I haven't opened that yet. Oh, I haven't felt this. So this is actually what we do. We pretend real life on the mat and then bring it back into real life. So I know that I can stand on my head and still breathe. So I'll be fine doing the dishes because I can do things that are way harder.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. Okay, cool. So the next question is actually like a compact version of many different questions that came in that are under the benefits. So Mr. Innocent, 1234, Priyam Shri, and Yash Pandit, and so many other people asked very similar questions, like, for what is yoga helpful? What are the benefits? Can yoga be used to lose weight? Can yoga help me increase my mobility? What else? Can yoga be helpful for mental health? I'm going to go with yes to all of it, but you're the expert here. Take it away.
You're absolutely right. So a huge yes to all of this. It obviously depends how you use it. So let's say this really easy one is like, is yoga something how to use weight, lose weight, right? So obviously, if you start to move your body more through the asana practice, so through the physical practice of yoga, like doing cat-cow, down dog, just moving on the mat, that will use up energy in your body. And if you use up more energy than you take in, this is what in the end makes you lose weight, right? So this is basically the only thing. It doesn't really matter how you do it. In the end, taking in less energy and using more will make you lose weight. And also yoga is about not being greedy and not being, you know, like wanting to possess things. And so often if it's about, you know, I have that, you know, eating a lot, way more than I need to.
Especially and this is a quarantine time,
right? It's like, what can I do today? Well, eat a whole bag of like, you know, chips or an ice cream bucket or and this is also a way of practicing yoga to be aware of, do you really need this? Is this covering up something or is it actually something that I'm just enjoying and knowing that it's probably long term not really a profitable thing to do, to eat ice cream every night? But it can also be something very nice if it's occasional. And that is also a practice of yoga to get a healthy relationship to food, which then turns into being you, right? And having a healthy relationship to your body by moving. And that will end up losing weight just because you have a better connection to your body and you have less cravings for also unhealthy stuff. Like, I don't know, I can't really eat unhealthy stuff in that sense anymore as much as I used to. Of course, I still do. Just because I have that connection, I know I feel horrible afterwards. And I don't want that feeling because I have like this grit, the body that is really vibrant. And so when I keep that energy up, so this is, that helps a lot with yoga and yeah, that losing weight idea.
Awesome. Mamin FRT says, when I study, I lose my concentration. Can yoga help me there?
Oh, yeah, I love that question. This is awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. So, there's actually an eightfold path in yoga. So Patanjali is one of the yoga fathers, I guess, and he wrote this book, the Yoga Sutras. And so there's eight limbs of yoga, the Ashtanga, just all Sanskrit words, really beautiful language. And basically, so there's all those different ones, and one of them is just asana. So one of them is moving on the mat. And actually there's one that is concentration. Because in the end, our mind is so fast, right? So if I want to just do one thing, especially nowadays, right? Because there's so much input coming, it's so hard to stay focused on one thing. And this is basically what meditation does. It makes you focus on one thing. And it's not about not thinking, because basically that's not impossible. It's not about, I don't know, just being like a floating yogi and being, I don't know, enlightened or something. So it's actually staying concentrated and staying present and not running away with your thoughts. So having a meditation practice, and just like 1 minute before you maybe start, or if you start to feel that you're not concentrating anymore on what you're supposed to be doing, just taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and just focusing on your breath for just 1 minute, and just to refocus and coming back. And so meditation is, if I meditate, it's funny because I'm not really good with routines, but if I meditate, I notice I am way sharper in what I do and how I do it.
Yeah.
So I'm more, it's like, it's hard to explain, because sometimes I have pictures. So if I draw something, you know, the outline is kind of frizzy and kind of like, this is how it sometimes feels. And when I meditate, it's not that it's stiff, but it's kind of clearer. It's like putting on glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And things are more sharp and it's a little calmer. So I got like a little space before I react to my thoughts.
Mm.
And this makes you way more concentrated, and this will help you a lot. And also if you can practice on the mat, like let's say for just 20 minutes and do nothing else and just be with your breath and practice yoga with like a YouTube video. Right now it's great with all the online streams, you know, there's all those options, or just like move on the mat for 20 minutes being concentrated. This will help you and make you way more focused on what you're doing and your work in your life. Even makes your everything better, right? So things like your sex life, because you're more present in that moment, right? And or having a conversation with someone you love, you don't like walk away. So it increases everything. So it kind of puts on glasses for everything.
I love that example, because I think we all understand that concept of like putting on, it's a little bit fuzzy, and then you put on glasses. It's like, oh, okay, it's just clearer. And I like how you said it's not contained, it's not sharp, it's not so clear that it's painful. It's just clear. Yeah. I love that. Muhammad UNA says, how long does it take to see changes in your body after starting yoga?
That's a good one. So it depends on which layer of your body you want to look at, right? So even if I went to my mat, did like a child's pose, so sat back on my heels, stretch my arms forward, I will, and then breathe for 5 breaths, I will already feel a change in my body connecting, and the feeling will get you will get more refined in how your body feels, right? In the beginning you might need like a big stretch to really feel a difference, and then the more you connect with your body, the smaller the changes have to be for you to feel something, right? So it's like when you listen to music and the music is really loud, you know, you it's easy to listen, but the more calm you get, the quieter the music can go. You know, when you wake up in the morning and music is very loud because your ears have been so kind of clean from the night, but if you come home from a party in a club, it has to be really loud for you to arrive.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like what happens when you start really dropping in and really feeling the sensations in your body. So this is something that will happen instantly and get better faster. And it depends, of course, if you want to know if you get more stronger muscles or more flexible. This will also happen very, very fast. Maybe if you have a consecutive practice of 2 weeks, you will already notice that it will help. So 2-3 times a week, like let's do 20 minutes. Depends, of course, where you started, and you will already feel a difference. And the thing is, we stay really shallow on the outside. And in yoga, we have different layers. We're like one of those Russian dolls, right? And so we have different layers. There's 5. And so we stay on the outside layer, which they call the flesh layer. So I stay on this, and I'm like, I feel a stretch here, and you know, and I feel a movement here. And then you get more subtle in the sense of feeling your breath, you know, your energy, how your energy is. Am I like awake? Am I like a little agitated? Am I happy? Am I kind of, you know, lethargic? Yeah. And then you start to go deeper even, you know, so feeling like your mental body, how that is going, like, is your mind going really fast or is it kind of sluggish? And then you go deeper and deeper. And so then you, this is, all those layers also work in yoga because you're using your breath and your presence. And this is something that can happen later. It doesn't matter. You can just do yoga because you love how that you can touch the floor finally. And it doesn't matter. It's not worth less. But, you know, as soon as you start to understand something, you want more of it. And if it feels good, you want more of it. And I think that this will happen after your first session. You will leave and feel better. I've never left a yoga class and felt worse. I've always felt better after yoga class. And I think this is why everybody keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Because you, if it's a normal class or meditation, you always feel better afterwards. And why not do something
that exactly,
you know, you will be happier and softer and more calm, and but also more energetic. And so you will feel it after the first class.
Well, to segue into the next question, Shikhar7122 says, how can I start doing yoga?
That is a great question because it is so hard, right? Starting something new.
Yeah.
Especially when you're an adult and then there's all those expectations, you know, you don't really try things anymore, you know, but, and I have people like taking like a random YouTube video and it's kind of like a not super, super beginner, you know, and then they're like, oh, I couldn't do it. And you're like, well, if I tell you to do like a somersault in the air backwards right now, you'd be like, are you kidding me? You know? Yeah. And it's first, just start. It doesn't matter, right? You don't have to wait for a certain moment. And then just also give yourself some space to maybe not be perfect, to not know right away. It's not, there is no perfection in yoga. And your yoga can be, as we said, you're washing dishes. But if you think of the asana, so if you, this is mostly what we think of, right? The physical practice of yoga is going onto your mat, doing an all fours, and just doing a few spinal movements and just breathing. That is a great start. Going to a beginner's workshop at the local yoga studio as soon as they're open again. or also, yeah, there's so many amazing online videos, but also keeping this responsibility, because I sometimes have people following a class online and I might not be teaching it. So it's like a recorded one on YouTube or something. And then I get a message saying like, oh, I have a sore knee. And like, I'm like, yeah, but then don't do the things that hurt your knee.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid, just go for it. You will feel better. Just close the door. Nobody has to see it. And it's not about that. No one cares. It's a work in, it's not a work out. It's like a...
Oh, I love that. Oh, say that again. It's a work in, not a work out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yoga doesn't care how you look. Yoga doesn't give a... if you can touch your toes. This is what we've made of it, to have barriers to think that we might not be suitable for it.
Mm.
One of the greatest spiritual minds in our world today, Deepak Chopra, absolutely adore this man. I do his meditations. I read his books. He's written over 80 books. He's insane, insane man. I think he sees the Matrix. He doesn't see the world. He's like... also very spiritual movie, by the way. Everybody should watch The Matrix and like see it from a spiritual point. Great. And so he has sometimes on his Instagram channel posts videos of him doing yoga, and he's an incredible mind. But his yoga really not something that is postable in like a sunset on Instagram, right? But that's not what it's about. And if that happens, of course, you see all those skinny yoga chicks and you think that you're not like that. And I 100% relate. You're like, the Lululemon pants don't look as nice on me. And, you know, and I think this is an image we've created in our Western world around it. And of course, I feed it also to a certain extent, which I'm well aware of, and definitely something that opened doors for me that I don't know that I am more good looking in the yoga sense, because people enjoy that. But just to keep coming back to that, that's not what it's about.
Mm.
And that yoga just is there for you and doesn't want to change you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sticking with that work in and not work out, is in with you. And also because we are inside, The last question is from Lee In. Oh my goodness, so many ins. And they ask, how does yoga help during quarantine?
That is absolutely perfect question because it helps tremendously. I feel like all the people practicing yoga have like a head start when it comes to coping with this situation. Just because I feel like it's an incubator for my yogi skills because it teaches me absolutely everything in like a combined version of what yoga tries to teach me. Going inside, that everything is already there. Like, so everything that you and kind of want to possess from the outside, what you define yourself through the outside, is everything that can be taken from you, obviously, right now, right? So if you build, putting aside, of course, that having to pay your bills and maybe being afraid that, your business will go down. All this is a different, this is a different layer. This is kind of like the part of society that we have to kind of circle out. But if you think of your happiness and your well-being in that situation, your body and mind well-being, yoga helps you in that sense of kind of coming back to what is. Because we spiral, we panic, we create fears, we create suffering again of trying to change that situation, even though we probably can't, right? So yoga gives you an option to like look inside. So what is actually going on? Yoga gives you a way of like observing, to kind of detaching and not being completely caught up in your thoughts, because the spiral, it's really painful and it's really hard to get out. And I've been there. Gosh, it's not like I'm not. I've spiraled, and I just still do. But it feels like I have the tools, the techniques through yoga, to kind of come back and then put on the glasses and see clearly what is. And of course, I'm worried about my business, or I'm worried about people I love. But then, what does worry really help? It only creates pain and also negative impact for my immune system inside of me. I'm the one suffering from it. So if I calm down, if I take a deep breath, this is where I can come back into my power and act. So I can come back into hopeful being. And this is where I strive. This is where I can help others. This is where, the situation completely changes and I can take back power than other than being a victim and powerless.
Mm.
And yoga gives you the tools to realize what you can do, how to get out of that victim state and kind of detaching from all of this craziness through practicing, through connecting with your body, through meditation, through calming, because you can't really get yourself out of adapt if you're in fear, if you're in panic mode. And so I think this is something that been incredibly helpful, and use those skills that I've practiced in my yoga, and take the time to go more inside and go more in time, and then kind of accept what is. That's been really, really, really helpful. And also the streams. So we've been doing lots of online yoga streams and having all those like-minded people. And it's so powerful connecting. Like, we had a yoga festival with my teacher who's in Philadelphia in the US. And so there was people from all over the planet, teachers from all over the planet, connecting, over 100 people practicing together. And everybody was at home on their screens, alone in their room, but you could feel the energy. You could just knowing that there's 100 other people practicing this practice right now, being devoted, really wanting to be in balance again. And this is just powerful and it gives so much hope. And so this is how yoga helps me so much. And I can only recommend, now is the time to start yoga.
Awesome. So that was the first round of questions. And if you're watching during the live stream, we still have a second round of questions at the end. So make sure that you pop your question in and we'll try and answer it as best as possible. So let's talk a little bit about you. So you know, when you were just first starting out, was there a curiosity in you that transformed itself into finding yoga, or did yoga fall out of the sky out of nowhere? Like, how did you create your union with yoga?
That's a great question, because I'm basically like the typical Western girl. How I found yoga was, so I come from dance. I danced my whole life. I've always been a physical person. And then I did some yoga classes, you know, because it came up, you know, in the fitness studio, just hopped in there. And then I had some yoga in my dance education. And it was like a cool stretch class for me. I actually was annoyed by this whole breathing thing, because I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about breathing because I do it in my sleep. Like, I thought it was so annoying having to put emphasis on my breath.
Yeah.
Because it made me like have to work for something I don't have to work for. I don't know. Just a lazy teenager, I guess.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Right? So like I wanted to forget it again, that I don't have to put attention on my breath, because I just didn't like that feeling at all. And so it was like, yeah, cool stretching class. You know, I was, from being a contemporary dancer, like handstands and all this stuff was kind of fun, and doing like tricks. And so it was absolutely nothing spiritual. The word God, I was like completely appalled. I didn't like the word at all. Like, it definitely took me a few years to make my peace that, number one, it's just a word, right? It's just a sound. And that it is just a representation of something that can be named any kind of way. And then, yeah, I don't know, I kind of fell into it. So my teacher from my dance education, yoga teacher, she asked me if I could sub her classes, even though I did a horrible, horrible exam. She's like, I know you can do better. So you can sub my class. And so I did. And yeah, somehow she never came back. So suddenly I had a yoga class, and I never did like one actual yoga teacher training. It was just one kind of semester in my dance education, and not really deep or anything, nothing about the philosophy. So it's like, oh yeah, I'll do a teacher training, because it would be nice to kind of understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I was very much in love, and I was just, you know, I don't know, very, very blindly in love. And the guy broke my heart. Like, it happens, you know. And I was so sad. I was so, so just heartbroken. And then I wanted to run away from Munich. And so I was like, that's the time to go to Bali and do a teacher training. So literally went on Google, said yoga teacher training Bali. And I didn't want to be in Ubud, which is kind of like the very spiritual area for yoga teacher training, because it's like, I don't want to do the spiritual shit. I just want to do like handstands and be a pretzel.
Yeah.
Really didn't want to do all the spiritual stuff. Like, I don't care. I just booked like this really random teacher training. I think I didn't even read the whole website. I don't know. It was just good timing. It was on the beach, and it had vinyasa in the word. So I was like, that's awesome, I'll do that one. And then I arrived, and it was super spiritual, not physical at all, super slow. And I wanted to quit after 2 days. I wanted to leave. I was like, I don't like this. But then I was already there, and I said, okay, I'll stay. I might as well, because hanging out in Bali for a month alone is like, eh. And I don't know. Suddenly things changed. I suddenly got answers to questions I've not openly been asking myself, but that were there the whole time. Mm. And it felt like I was like, I had really bad relationships before that, or like just treating myself badly. I don't always want to point, obviously, a finger. So it was just, I was allowing relationships that weren't how I wanted to be. And I was questioned, like, why would this happen to me? And suddenly I had all the answers. Yoga gave me all the answers, all the tools, and suddenly I was in power. And that's how yoga found me, I guess. It took a while. So I have 100% understanding for everyone who's like, yeah, I get a nice butt from yoga class. That is totally fine. If you feel better afterwards, and if you are a more generous person afterwards, or calmer, or nicer, kinder, then that's all that. Then that's all you need at the moment, probably. But yeah, It took me a while, but now it's my absolutely great love. I breathe and live yoga, and I can't imagine not having it, not living it anymore. Mm. And I just want to know more about it every day.
Beautiful. And living more about it and understanding more about it and then wanting to share that with the world and with your students. You opened your own yoga studio. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, like, oh, I'm going to take this teacher training thing in Bali. And then, you know, then it just transformed into opening your own yoga studio. What does it feel like having your own yoga studio? And I got to ask, how did you get such an interesting name for your studio called Kale and Cake?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Okay, let's talk first about the name, because it's actually, so Kale and Cake is basically, so I founded the studio with two of my friends, and they're actually a couple. And so he is not actively in the company anymore, but the three of us were sitting together and we had a name, so we wanted to call it Soul Flow. And I don't know, we were like, this is awesome, you know. And but then you Google it and it's like everywhere, there's already a patent on it, you know. We're like, damn it, you know, we need to find a better name. So we were sitting there for like 3 hours brainstorming, getting hungry. And we wanted to do something, you know, that is not too serious. You know, we didn't want it to be like Om Shakti Shiva Namaha studio, because that's, we're not really like really modern yogis. And I guess also because we do functional training and bar. And then we wanted to have something that that reflects that we are about balance. So our main idea is that we are about the middle path, that there's no absolute wrong and no absolute right. So that it's always kind of in the middle, right? So Buddha's way, I guess. And so we said kale is like the one thing that when you have your kale smoothie in the morning, you're like on top of things, you're healthy, you know. And then you have your cake days where you just like eat cake and lie on the couch and not move. And both is fine, right? So sometimes you're more the kale person, you know, you're like, woo. And sometimes you're more of a cake person, you're like, meh. And so this is how we came up with Kale and Cake, that it's the middle in the end.
Yeah. I absolutely love this, because like I was like, how did they, what a cool name, Kale and Cake, but like why? And now you explain it, I'm like, that makes total sense. And it goes for anybody, any human out there, you know, like if you're feeling super, super like I'm on top of it and I'm focused, as we all have been, or we understand that feeling, but we also understand that feeling of, you know, coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning from the disco and being like, oh man. Right. So, and that you said finding the middle way, you know, and that both are part of life, but let's try and find the middle way. And I love how you've debunked the myth of, you know, it has to be called something ridiculously spiritual that some people can't even pronounce, or that it's a banal name of Yoga Loft or whatever, or Soul Flow or whatever, that everybody knows, and it becomes so overused that it doesn't have the meaning anymore. This has such a great meaning. Now I have to ask a follow-up question. Do you, after class, do you serve kale and cake?
Not yet. Sometimes we have students who bring us cake, and then obviously we share it, but our studio is tiny. It's like literally the smallest thing in the world. And so not yet, but that would be the dream. So we could offer things more. But yeah, people have already asked, like, is there cake then? I'm like, nope, Shavasana is cake. So
not yet, but you know, you're working on it. Awesome.
Who knows? Yeah. And you asked how it is to have your own studio. It's incredible. So for me, I've always been self-employed, and I'm like, I don't know. I love doing my own stuff and being my own boss. And so having my own rules and kind of finding a way to do it my way has been absolutely incredible. And I love responsibility, but it's also been intense, obviously. But I have the best partner, so I can only recommend, if you ever want to do something, open up something, create something, find someone else, because this whole, even like talking to each other, not having to decide on my own, like this whole decision with like having to close the studio and what to do and all those things, you know, and like, this is like a really extreme situation right now, or, it, you know, it keeps happening, right? Mm. And having someone else to kind of, you know, bounce off ideas and opinions and having someone who compliments you. So Sophia, my partner, she is the perfect complement to what I bring to the table. Like, this woman is everything that I'm not. And we have the exact same mind, though, in the sense of that it's about the balance and that our heart and our values are the yoga values. And this is how we decide everything. And yeah, and it's been an absolute pleasure. I love seeing people grow. Mm. I think this is my favorite thing, that I have a home where people are more than welcome. We call the people coming to us the Killing Cake tribe. So we have a big tribe. Everybody's welcome. You don't have to have anything before. Like, you don't have to fulfill any certain terms to be part of the tribe. You can just, you know, if you want to, you're part of it. And you're welcome. And it's just, yeah, incredible seeing people grow through the practice, you know, asking questions, connecting, and having a place where they meet has been heaven, absolute heaven.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So inspiring for people that are out there, especially now, you know, like, oh, geez, what do I do? Or where do I go from here? I always wanted to open a business and be self-employed, but now look at what's going on. I mean, I think, of course, you got to be realistic, but it's so inspiring to hear from somebody like yourself that's built your own studio and built your the name for yourself and Kale and Cake as well, that it's very inspiring to hear. So in March of this year, the coronavirus changed the entire landscape for how we interact with each other. I'm so excited because I went to buy hand soap the other day and it just smells so good. I'm like, wow, like this is such a luxury. So it's completely changed the landscape for everybody in the entire world. So what used to be going to your yoga class in a large group has now been completely canceled until this crisis is over. And people and businesses have had to drastically change the way that they live their lives. Even you changed to teaching online classes, online classes instead of in-person classes. And, you know, for somebody that is self-employed, somebody that runs a studio with their business partner, how's that been for you? And how's that been for your students and your studio trying to just make it through this thing?
Yeah, it's been very intense. So this year has been really, there's been a few rocks thrown in our way. So already before Corona, but I got to say, if you have a partner that kind of, you know, you got each other's backs, you're like, you know what, we'll find a way. There is a solution. Again, this is, I guess it sounds kind of sometimes maybe harsh, but then Kale and Cake, I love it. I love it so much. I love this place. I love doing it, but also it doesn't define me in the sense of that I am not me if I don't have it. So right now it's just, I just take every moment, everything that happens as an opportunity to see, okay, so what can we do now? But of course there's an option of not succeeding, of not pulling through. And yoga helps me of accepting that and being like, you know what, if that happens, I know there's another path. So there's this huge trust that this will be fine. It will be fine because I have my tools. I am connected with people I love. I have the absolute ridiculous privilege to have a safe home, right? So this is like the base, trusting that universe. I call it universe, right? You can call it soul, God, Brahman, whatever it is. But for me, I have this deep, deep trust in the universe. I have this deep trust that things happen for a reason and not everything's great. But every dark side have a light side. So there's always a balance, right? And so it depends on how I react or how I look at the things and what I make out of them. So we reacted very, very fast. So we closed our studio actually before we had to, just because we said it feels weird right now in this situation, cramming 15 people, 20 people into this tiny space. And just kind of like this really weird, sensation before we had the shutdown. And that was such a hard decision. Like, I was in so much panic. I was like, I felt this whole, like, what am I going to do? You know, this kind of tight feeling in my chest, And but as soon as I talk with Sophia about it, I know I'm not alone. So this already helps. And then I know that we have the skills to like create something out of this. And then we got each other. And then this helped a lot. And then being like, okay, what else can we do? And this online thing, it worked so well. It's great. And it's such an opportunity because suddenly our studio can fit more than 20 people. I think our max was 125 or something in one stream. That was
amazing.
Yes.
Six times as much just from an online stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's great because now I get all those messages of people saying, oh my God, I've been wanting to practice with you, but I live in Hamburg or I live in Zurich, and then now I can finally practice with you. So it's an opportunity. Everything has a dark and a light side. Everything, absolutely everything on the planet. There, and it is the same thing, though. So inhale and exhale. You can't always inhale. You can't always exhale. You need the change. You need the mix of it, right? And all the areas in between when they change in an exhale. So kind of having the acceptance that every darkness has a light side. And of course, I can now worry about that other people might not have the privilege that I have, or I can just accept that I am in this privileged position and see what I can do to be in service. Mm-hmm. So my service is to give people yoga because this is my language. This is what I'm passionate about, is I know that helps people. So finding a way to keep offering that. And then there's a path. If you do something you really love and it comes from the heart and it's about service, it works. If you're just about looking for increasing the numbers on your bank account that have no meaning if it's all about those numbers, because that's not what, that's just the means to an end. It's just energy. Yeah. Then the universe will not open up and help you out because you're not aligned, you're not in balance, you're not connected. And so this has helped again. And we found a great way and it's been working. We're so grateful. It's been an absolutely amazing experience, but it's been hard.
Yeah.
And it's been like the fifth thing this year. Like it's not even May. And before Corona, we had stuff going on and like, yeah, there's been really, really intense stuff happening, but you know, we just kept taking a deep breath, supporting each other, thinking of, okay, what can we do from this on? And we will be fine, trusting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the overall general vibe that I'm getting from people that are like, okay, Corona is happening or it's hit or it has happened or wherever we are in this whole process. How can we keep going creatively and not reinvent the wheel, but just reformat what's been given to us, right? As a challenge, right? And the quicker that you can reformat and go with the flow and go with the changes, the more of service you will be to more people. And the more that you're going to be able to help more people and not to be a trendsetter because everybody's doing live streams, right? But just to be able to say, hey, listen, how can we use the obstacles that we have now? Okay, we can't be in the same physical space, but we can be in the same virtual space and scale that and help more and more people than ever before. Fitting 20 people into a real room and then more than 120 people into a virtual room. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Like that's insane. Congratulations. That's a huge success.
Yeah, it's been incredible. But one thing, oh, I forgot that. I love that when we talked about how yoga helps with Corona and like with the whole situation around it, accepting that everything changes.
Yeah.
So nothing will ever stay the same. The only constant in our lives and our planet is change. And the sooner we accept that, the sooner we can flow with it, live with it, and act accordingly. Whenever we want to try to hold on, whenever we want to push something away, whenever we want to pause, this is where suffering happens. So, of course, this is like an extreme version of change, but this happens in like small versions all over the time, like all the time. And so this has been, just kind of like the yoga skill trainer being like, here's a big change. Let's see what you can do with that.
And the more changes that are thrown our way, the more we're able to adapt and understand that when change does come, that, okay, you have to adapt, you know? Yeah. Like we couldn't walk the first day that we were born. So why do we think that, you know, you go to one yoga class and you can do the entire flow, you know, as easy as possible? So each time that we come onto the mat, it's a chance to change and adapt. And the more that you get to practice changing and adapting, when the real big changes come in, you're like, okay, this is a bit of a hurdle, but I'm used to it because I've learned to change and adapt over time. So if I can do that, then I can do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like when I say you have never practiced yoga, let's do like a hardcore flow and contortion, foot behind the head. You're like, what? If you practice for a year consecutively doing slow changes, adapting, feeling, moving, and then suddenly you stand in your handstand, and then you're like, I just needed some time. It's just about learning it and then adapting and being present. It's, yeah, absolutely. 100%. You said that beautifully.
Okay. I learned from the best. What is the most difficult exercise in yoga? That's a great question. I'd be interested in knowing what that is as well. Or is there one?
Well, so there's a book called The Book of Yoga, or the Light on Yoga, Light on Yoga by Iyengar. And so he has kind of like points for how hard an asana would be. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's crazy hard stuff with like being in a lotus pose and then balancing on your head without fingers and like all those little, you know, crazy things. But actually, I think the hardest pose would be Shavasana. So lying down on your back and being 100% present without walking away with your thoughts, falling asleep. I don't know, kind of, you know, sitting there and being like, when is it over? So usually they would say Shavasana is actually the hardest pose to do an actual Shavasana. I used to do my to-do list in my head when I started yoga. I was like, I hate this lying around. So great, I use it to do my to-do list. So, in the sense of like, there's no limit to what you can create with your body, or like what you can kind of do happen with your body. And for some people, child's pose will be the biggest challenge because they have really inflexible hips or feet. And then for other people, standing on one hand in a handstand, this is their challenge. And so this is very unique for every person. But then I think being present and being really in the practice and just lying down doing nothing, that is very hard.
Awesome. Never would have thought of that. I think we all think like, how much of a pretzel can you be? Just lying down and being present. Yeah, totally. Shreya Singh, what's your favorite asana?
Ooh, yeah, as I said, so one of my favorites is definitely handstand. Even though the one today was not my strong one, but that's okay. I'm just going with the flow, right? So definitely handstand, just because it's that feeling when you're up there and you're standing, because it's suddenly so easy. When you find the balance, it's easy. Getting there is hard. I think that is just also a metaphor for life. And so this is one of my favorites. And I guess, child's pose, just because I'm not a really grounded person. I'm more of a, I don't know, fast and like twitchy, and I tend to be more pitta and vata when we come into Ayurveda. So very airy, very fiery person. So I love ground. So going to child's pose, basically how I start every practice when I do a self-practice at home, just coming into child's pose, kind of grounding, arriving. And it doesn't matter how many times I've done it, it's always like home.
Beautiful. Speaking of coming home or going away and then coming home, one does that in, for example, a car. This segue is it's really cheesy. So is it possible to do yoga in a BMW? Says AO770 and several others.
Yes. So obviously it's possible, especially like sitting a lot when you like drive a lot, you know, we come into that, I call that the T-Rex position, you know, the...
Yes.
The T-Rex, right? So, and this is, if it's like riding on a laptop or sitting in a car, it's not the wrists change a little bit but you know, not really. So one of the main things that happens, right? It depends. It's like you're really tight here, so your neck is really tight. So I would say one thing you can do, maybe not while driving, you know, but after, is you grab behind and grab the upper arm.
Mm-hmm. I'll do this with you. But,
yeah. So you kind of with your, this really opens the chest, right? I love this. So you would get really tight, really tall, and then drop your ear to the arm that is grabbing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, there's some space for flexibility there. I love it. And this just kind of opens everything. And then coming back, maybe dropping the ear to the other side, just kind of feeling the sensation, how it changes with one arm bent. Yes. And then you can switch it. So grab the other arm. And then just feel that. And this is not a big movement, but you will feel right afterwards just kind of being like more, more upright.
Yeah.
Kind of reversing that kind of shoulders forward, just reversing it by rolling them back, just kind of grabbing behind your back. You can even grab opposite elbows and then just kind of reach up, because it also gets you out of that hunched position of like the tucked tail.
Thing like 6 feet tall now. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just doing the neck from side to side, just kind of opening the sides of the neck, because this is always tight. And then breathing with it, and then you will feel recharged. Super easy. Super easy when you have like a long drive, you know, or stand in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
Please be careful. Don't take your hands off the wheel if you need your hands on the wheel.
In autonomous driving is the future, but the future's not right now. Like, just safety first, people. Safety. Arfin Siddique and many other people have asked, what time is the best time to do yoga?
Now.
Yes.
This is actually how the one of the most famous yoga starts starts. And now yoga.
Mm.
And I read a lot into it because atta, now, is like the present. It's the only moment that is. Everything else is illusion and not. So start now. And it also depends what kind of practice you need. And in the evening, you can do a slow one. In the morning, you can do a wake up one. In the, you know, at lunch, maybe a very fiery one. Whatever you feel you need at the moment. So you can.
Love that. That's great. Our last question from the audience, Fa Amiri, and several others asks, where can I learn online with you?
Oh, that's awesome. I actually have a YouTube channel. I just started to feed more. Right now, most media is on German. But I also teach my streams. So on my Kale and Cake studio, we have streams. And I will be teaching Monday. I will be teaching in English, because my best friend, she's Canadian, and she will be joining. And she knows German, but it's not as good as she wants it to be for yoga class, you know. So I will be teaching my Monday class this week in English. And it's kind of like a mix. The English class, I always call it. And I'm about to, tape some videos more in English. But then there's YouTube in German. And then you can stream with me right now. Very
amazing. And anywhere else that you are, your website, your book, like, would give it to us. Like, where can we dive 100% into what you bring into the world?
Thank you. Well, I have a website. It's like my name, sinadeepart.de. And then I have my book, Yoga Flow Balance. It's actually translated into, let's say, it was in Swedish, in Norwegian, and in Dutch. So really great. They translated it. Obviously, I didn't. This is really cool. And it's in German. And it's a vinyasa book for at home. There's also a handstand tutorial in it. And then my Instagram. My Instagram is mostly in English. So it's also at Sina Diepold. And my studio is also kaleandcake.de. You can find all the information there. And yeah. Sharing more yoga and getting more united and happy.
And everybody watching at home and listening into the podcast, we will put her links into the description. So make sure that you check it out there. All right. From her first yoga class to now owning her own studio and teaching online, Sina is a wonderful example of following your heart and finding where it leads you, no matter what obstacles are in your way. Sina, thank you so much for our chat today.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I had such a great time. And yeah, this was absolutely wonderful.
I'm pleased. Well, guys, that's a wrap on this episode. I'm Jonathan, and this has been Creators of a Different Beat, presented by Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. See you next time.